VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on this last day of 2024, a news roundup on Crosstalk today. Much is taking place. We're going to try and do a recap of many things from this calendar year, but folks, there's so much that's happened in the last few days that we're going to pull together here on the broadcast and keep you informed on many, many critical issues that are going on. And friends, if you're not praying for this country, would you start today? Please start today and commit this nation in prayer. There is so much that is at stake in this nation here in the days to come. Well, friends, we're going to delve right into it here with starting with the story from the Epoch Times. The president has urged Americans to stop the theft of the presidential election. In a message to the nation that took place last week, he sought to explain why he determined to pursue all legal and constitutional avenues to stop the theft of the presidential election, saying Americans must be able to have complete faith and confidence in the election. Well, we see that also Epic is reporting that the Trump campaign attorney, Jenna Ellis, said that the rejections to hear campaign election lawsuits are a denial of his right to due process under the Constitution, saying they need to recognize that President Trump absolutely gets the same opportunities to argue his case that George W. Bush did in 2000. And to treat him differently than any other sitting president in every other election is manifestly unfair according to the due process and our Constitution. Ellis said that over the past several weeks, the court has partaken in dereliction of duty and fidelity to the U.S. Constitution by refusing to take up cases. We saw that happen yesterday, even with our guest as he was commenting on these very aspects. Again, we have a suit that's been filed against Wisconsin as well, trying to nullify some of the issues that happened in this state due to the fraud that went on. Also, as we go to the Western Journal, attorneys for the Dominion voting system have sent a cease and desist letter to whistleblower Melissa Carone, who earlier this month testified about Dominion's voting machines in a hearing before the Michigan legislators. In an affidavit, Carone said there was widespread fraud at the TCF Center in Detroit. She's an information technology professional who was hired by Dominion as an independent contractor to provide support. The website Law and Crime said Dominion has sent cease and desist letters to multiple people and entities, including attorney Sidney Powell, Lou Dobbs, Lynn Wood, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, cybersecurity expert Russell Ramsland, Rudy Giuliani, Greg Kelly of Newsmax, as well as Fox News, One American News, Newsmax, The Epoch Times, and to the White House as well. Well, some very, very interesting testimony happened yesterday in the state of Georgia. Article coming from News Target says, despite all the fake news lies that claim that Dominion voting machines could not be hacked and could not be used to alter the outcome of the election, analyst Jovan Pulitzer has just unleashed a bombshell announcement during a live Georgia Senate hearing. He said white hat hackers were able to remotely gain full control over the Dominion voting machines, enabling them to remote in and alter election results. Both Dominion and the fake news media have insisted it's impossible. But this is what unfolded yesterday in that Georgia Senate panel hearing.
And the committee members, I respectfully request that you afford just a couple minutes to Jovan Pulitzer. He's just informed me of some very serious new evidence that he's just obtained from a Fulton County voting polling place within the last hour, and I think this committee needs to hear this.
Okay, we'll give him, can you do it just a couple of minutes, 2 minutes?
So as we all know, there's multiple teams working on this and our technology teams into it, and as was broke early in the weekend last week about connected devices. At this very moment, at a polling location in the county, Not only do we now have access through the devices to the poll pad, the system, but we are in. And it's not supposed to have Wi-Fi, and that's not supposed to be able to happen. So we've documented now. It's communicating two ways in real time, meaning it's receiving data and sending data. Should never happen. Shouldn't be Wi-Fi. We've now documented it in real time so we can suck down the data. But that's going on right there where everybody's voting. And I just wanted to get it into the record.
Thank you. Mr. Jones?
Is it a mobile precinct or is it a...
No, it's a standing building.
Okay.
That this should not happen.
Right.
Shouldn't happen in any way, but this is another one in real time. Won't disclose location because every location is checked, but we've now confirmed it 100%.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Senator Beach, did you... And now comes Sil Beach and Tillery. Did you have a question? Senator Tillery.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We've heard that there's three different types of machines, a scanner, a ballot marking device, and a polling pad.
Right.
Do you know which one it is communicating, or can you tell that?
Right now, what you heard in the past was coming through the thermostat and stuff. This is now a more direct access way, and so this is coming through the polling pad device where they're checking everything. But now, you know, it only takes one device where you daisy chain them together and do it. The most important thing is that shouldn't be two-waying and even shouldn't be accessible or on. And it's there. Were there any other questions?
Could I ask him one question? What effect could somebody with, dishonest purposes, what could that person do given this access that's going on right now in Fulton County?
Statistically, what can be going on when you have an operation like this is as that data is being exchanged and somebody's in it, can actually siphon off that data, modify the data, and feed it right back into the system, or kind of do a pump and dump in real time, right? It's kind of like at home when we all used to have a dial-up and you're connected to the internet and doing what you're doing, and then all your kids get on and the bandwidth goes down and everybody clogs. It creates that kind of atmosphere where not only are you in the system, but then once you get into the machine, you can do stuff in real time, changing its intent.
Folks, that's amazing. This happened yesterday. The very moment at a polling location in the county, Fulton County in the state of Georgia, they're in this hearing. He said, not only do we have access through the devices to the poll pad, the system, but we are in. Not only are you in the system, but once you get in the machine, you can do stuff in real time with intent. That's what it opens up. It's not supposed to have Wi-Fi. It's not supposed to be able to happen. But he's documented now is communicating two ways in real time. Folks, how can we trust what's happening in the state of Georgia back on November 3rd or what's to happen coming up on January 5th? Also reported to us from the Epoch Times, Georgia's Senate Election Law Study Subcommittee passed a motion during this December 3rd hearing, 30th hearing yesterday, to request an audit now of absentee ballots in Fulton County, asking the county to make the ballots available for inspection. All absentee ballots be forensically examined. Fraudulent ones identified in just a matter of hours, they said they can do. And then from WND.com, Rudy Giuliani, who's been fighting election fraud in several swing states where Joe Biden was declared the winner in the 2020 race after the president appeared to have significant leads, has congratulated Georgia lawmakers for having some very resilient voters. So resilient, they can vote after they're dead. Here's what he shared at that committee.
Again, if you look at that one recording, that one tape, you know they're not correct. Or if you look at the fact that you had 2,560 felons vote, you had 15,700 people vote in Georgia who had changed their address before the election, you had 40,000 people fail to re-register before they voted, you had 10,315 people that we can determine from obituaries were dead when they voted. That's pretty tough to do. To vote when you're dead. So right away, that number you submitted to Washington is a lie. It's not true. It's false. Minus 10,000 dead people. Those are the number of dead people we were able to figure out by looking at obituaries because your Secretary of State is engaged in what I consider an unlawful cover-up. He won't let us look at records.
That's Rudy Giuliani yesterday testifying before the committee. The Daily Signal reports that the House and Senate poised to debate a presidential election outcome for only the third time since 1887, when Congress passed the electoral count vote. Senator Josh Hawley announced Wednesday that he will object to the counting of the electoral votes from certain states. At the same time, Louis Gohmert and 11 other alternative electors from Arizona sued over the issue in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District. Also, Epoch Times reporting Mo Brooks saying that they're going to challenge Electoral College votes January 6th, said dozens of House members are going to sponsor a measure to object. Well, the law does prohibit Vice President Pence from accepting electoral votes from fraudulently certified states, says constitutional lawyer Ivan Ranklin. He says Vice President Pence can request states send electoral college slates that actually reflect the will of the people. Well, car caravans are going to be heading to Washington, D.C. In an unprecedented request, President Trump asked the supporters to travel to D.C. for a big protest January 6th, where a joint session of Congress will be held during what lawmakers will vet the Electoral College votes cast 3 weeks prior. A Michigan man organizing the larger caravan effort with encompassing some 20 cities along the route. At least three pro-Trump groups are organizing protests in D.C. on January 6th. MAGA Million, A March for Trump and Stop the Steal have reached out to support and promote the caravans. The whole effort is going to be like a 1776 moment, said an individual from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's an important time to make sure that America stays America. Another one by the name of Amelia said, I think if we don't save our republic now, I don't know when we can. And yet another, Sean from Knoxville, Tennessee, said, I've never served in the military, but I feel like I'm right now in the military. The four caravan routes are starting in Boston, Lansing, Michigan, Nashville, Tennessee, and Gadsden, Alabama. Michigan and Massachusetts caravans will plan to converge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, before heading to D.C. via Maryland. The Tennessee and Alabama caravans are to converge in Richmond, Virginia. Friends, so much is going on and to these matters here. And here we have, another matter. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell Tuesday introduced his own version of a bill to increase the $600 stimulus checks from the coronavirus relief package to $2,000, but also has included two other major priorities for President Donald Trump. The legislation would also repeal Section 230, the controversial liability protection for online platforms, and create a committee on the Election Assistance Commission to study election integrity. Isn't it time that we study the integrity of the election? Friends, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, yes, it's been another time filled with gaffes, as you're going to be hearing from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris talking about a Harris administration or a Harris-Biden administration. It's continued as recent as this week. We're going to be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to a news roundup on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to have allowed for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
a News Roundup Day on the last day of 2020. Thanks for tuning in to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. And indeed, as we learned from townhall.com, throughout the course for his run for president, Joe Biden has been full of gaffes. I mean, he has managed to forget important information like what office he was running for or who his wife or sister are, what day Super Tuesday falls on, and other matters as well. But should come as no surprise that there was yet another gaffe on Tuesday of this week when he referred to Kamala Harris as president-elect. He made the comments during a press conference after Harris received the first dose of the Wuhan coronavirus vaccine. Yet it's the same vaccine she said she would never receive while President Trump was in office. But here's what he had to say.
I took it to instill public confidence in the vaccine. President-elect Harris took hers today for the same reason.
Okay, so he said he took he took the immunization to instill confidence in it, and then said that President-elect Harris took it. Let's hear it one more time.
I took it to instill public confidence in the vaccine. President-elect Harris took hers today for the same reason.
This was not the first time he's made that mistake.
Harris-Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort and keep pushing further to make it.
Okay, Harris-Biden administration. And then, guess what? It doesn't stop there as well, because who could forget that Harris herself has referred to their administration as the Harris administration, and this was not too long ago. Listen in.
We need to make sure you have a president in the White House who actually sees you, who understands your needs, who understands the dignity of your work, and who has your back. A Harris administration together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States, The Biden-Harris administration will provide access to $100 billion in low-interest loans and investments for minority business owners. We will provide $15,000.
Freudian slip, will let you be the judge on that. Let's go to Jihad Watch. Iran has become confident and emboldened. The jihadist regime of Iran is salivating at the thought of a Biden administration during which it is confident that it will have free rein to expand its global adventurism. In its view, America will now bow and sanctions against it will end as the disastrous nuclear deal is reinstated. The Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has now put President Trump and former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein in the same bracket, saying, "By the grace of God, we won, and the day came when we saw that crazy man hanging from the gallows. On that day, the people saw their final victory manifest, and Trump's fate will be no better than Saddam's fate," Rouhani stated. Very interesting, with all that's going on in the Middle East, WND.com reporting that the Middle East peace agreements that the Trump administration brokered between Arab nations and Israel were accomplished despite the doubts by the deep state in Washington. So far, Morocco, Bahrain, Sudan, and the United Arab Emirates have reached agreements to normalize relations with Israel. But now there's a new development that shows how right the Trump administration was to abandon the policy of appeasing the Palestinians and push forward with Arab peace proposals, regardless of the opposition from Palestinian factions. The Middle East Media Research Institute, or MIMRI, reported that because of the peace deals, Palestinian officials want to restart negotiations with Israel and renew security and civilian coordination. They've ceased their attacks on the Arab nations that have normalized relations with Israel. And that's not to say that the PA leadership has stopped expressing opposition to the agreements with Israel, but it's doing so now through quiet diplomatic channels. Very interesting to see the developments of something that many thought totally impossible for the Palestinian Authority. Let's go on to the Western Journal. The first allergic reaction to Moderna's coronavirus vaccine took place last week in Boston. Dr. Hussein Sedzra, who is a geriatric oncologist, and I apologize, I know I got his last name mixed up, at Boston Medical Center, said shortly after being vaccinated, he felt dizzy. He felt that he had an elevated heart rate. He said that the symptoms of his reaction included a heart rate of 150 beats per minute, a cold sweat, dizziness, and rapidly falling blood pressure. In a statement, David Kibbe, a spokesman for Boston Medical Center, said the doctor felt he was developing an allergic reaction and was able to self-administer his personal EpiPen. He was taken to the emergency department, evaluated, treated, observed, and discharged. He is doing well today. From Newsmax.com, a nurse in California has tested positive for COVID-19 more than a week after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. Christian Ramers, an infectious disease specialist, said, "We know from the vaccine clinical trials that it's going to take about 10 to 14 days for you to start to develop protection from the vaccine. The first dose, we think, gives you somewhere around 50%, and you need that second dose to get up to 95%, he said. Okay, we also have here from Israel National News. 75-year-old Israeli man dies 2 hours after getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Initial examination shows no link, though, they're saying, between the death and the vaccine itself, according to the health ministry there. Also, we have from Euro Weekly News. Germany's COVID-19 vaccination campaign has been subdued after a mistake in administering the jab where 8 workers in the north accidentally received an overdose. Authorities said the care home workers in Stralsund City received 5 times the recommended dose of the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine. 4 went to the hospital for observation after developing flu-like symptoms. Christian Post reporting a tragic story here. A newly elected member of Congress has died after contracting the coronavirus just days before he was set to be sworn into office. Congressman-elect Luke Letlow died Tuesday, 11 days after announcing that he tested positive for coronavirus. A doctor from Shreveport contended his death was all COVID-related. While Letlow is the first elected official at the national level to die from COVID-19, politicians at the state level have also succumbed to the virus. His seat in the House of Representatives will remain vacant until a special election can take place. Be praying for the Letlow family as he leaves behind a wife and 2 very young children. Coming to us from the Jerusalem Post, ultraviolet radiation is a common method of killing bacteria and viruses. Now researchers from Tel Aviv University have proven that the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, can be killed efficiently, quickly, and cheaply using ultraviolet light-emitting diodes, UV LEDs, at specific frequencies. A quote here from the professor at Professor Hadras Mamane, head of the Environmental Engineering Program at Tel Aviv University School of Mechanical Engineering, said, "We discovered that it's quite simple to kill the coronavirus using LED bulbs that radiate ultraviolet light," saying that the UV LED bulbs require less than half a minute to destroy more than 99.9% of the coronaviruses. The study is the first of its kind in the world. Epic Times reporting a new potentially more contagious strain of the CCP virus that causes COVID-19 was confirmed in Colorado, the first time it's been detected in the U.S., according to health officials. The variant is B117, is the same as the one discovered in the United Kingdom, according to officials. There's a lot we don't know about this new COVID-19 variant, but scientists in the U.K. are warning to the world that it is significantly more contagious, said Colorado's governor. Okay, due to this, all of these things unfolding, Western Journal reporting that a top epidemiologist said Britain needs a near lockdown to battle COVID-19. On Tuesday, Britain recorded over 53,000 new positive tests for the coronavirus, according to the BBC. That total came after Monday saw over 41,000 new cases, according to Reuters. The numbers in the new coronavirus strain spreading through Britain is entering a very dangerous new phase of the pandemic, according to a professor of infectious disease epidemiology. CNSNews.com tells us German lawmakers are calling on the government to update regulations to prevent airlines and other businesses from excluding people who have not been vaccinated against COVID-19 after some carriers announced they intend to require proof of vaccination from passengers. Johannes Fechner, policy spokesman for the Social Democrats parliamentary group, said it's unacceptable that airlines only take vaccinated people with them or that restaurants deny access to non-vaccinated people. He said that his party is examining legal measures to prevent discrimination against the unvaccinated people, such as amending existing legislation to make clear that including vaccination status among terms and conditions for services is prohibited. Again, that is from Germany. I saw in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today an interesting story. The headline caught my attention. Vaccine recipients can put the proof in Apple Wallet. COVID-19 vaccine recipients in Los Angeles County, a major virus hotspot, will be offered a digital record that will help ensure that they get a second shot and could eventually be used to gain access to concert venues or airline flights. The offering is being provided starting this week through a partnership with the startup HealthVana. It's initially geared toward ensuring people receive both doses of the two-shot regimens that have been authorized in the U.S., including through follow-up notifications before a second appointment. It will give recipients a way to verify that they've been vaccinated when they can put it into their Apple Wallet or competing Google platform to prove to airlines, to prove to schools, to prove to whomever needs it, said their chief executive officer, Raymond Bastani. Tracking COVID-19 vaccine recipients and authenticating immunization status are poised to become, listen to this, this is a quote from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that this tracking is poised to become increasingly important in the U.S. and globally as vaccines are offered. Well, the headlines rang loudly earlier here this week with this one from WND.com. The headline, Fauci lied, Senator rips doctor for tricking Americans on mask, vaccines, and COVID, saying he's been distorting the level of vaccination needed. One of the top health advisors who's been setting the agenda for America's fight against coronavirus has been accused of lying about what is needed. The reason? To trick Americans into doing the right thing. The report explained that Fauci has admitted to quietly shifting what he claims the American public must do to get herd immunity to COVID-19. In a recent interview, Fauci said when polls said only about half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity would take 70 to 75%. Then when newer surveys said 60% or more would take it, I thought I could nudge that up a bit, so I went to 80 to 85%. He said he doesn't really know what the real number is. I think the real range is somewhere between 70 to 90%, but I'm not going to say 90%. Rubio said Fauci has been distorting. The truth on this, distorting the level of vaccination needed, and not just that, but other issues as well. A commentary here also at Town Hall. Dr. Fauci is the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. Quickly became America's go-to guru. In a telephone interview, Dr. Fauci acknowledged that he had slowly but deliberately been moving the goalpost. He is doing so, he said, partly based on new science and partly on his gut feeling that the country is finally ready to hear what he really thinks, the New York Times reports. Very interesting. Is that evolving? I'm sorry, this story from Western Journal, is this evolving? He held things back, but now he's wanting to share what he really thinks on the issue. And by the way, Deborah Birx admitted Sunday she broke her own COVID-related travel guidance on Thanksgiving, gathering with three generations of family from two households, said, I wasn't celebrating, though, because I was winterizing one of my homes. She elaborated on the toll pandemic precautions that she doles out to others, but they have affected now her family. Her family has been depressed. Her elderly parents have stopped eating over the isolation. And so she certainly was going there to check up on them, violating her own rules. Guess what the rest of America is facing? We'll be right back.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Danny! Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, having a news roundup day here today. Again, we were going to be looking at doing a roundup for the year, but there's so much that has happened within just the last few days that we're bringing the news roundup here today to deal with some more of the current issues that continue on. I continue to be in prayer for the Georgia election on Tuesday. Be praying for the Congress as they convene on Wednesday here for certification of the Electoral College vote. Many, many issues at stake. This is an interesting commentary that was on Western Journal. The headline says most whites must adhere to Ivy League university vaccination requirement, but minorities are allowed to claim racism to opt out. Cornell students are required to get a flu vaccination before arriving on campus as part of the Cornell Student Behavior Compact in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. But if you're Caucasian, you must obtain a medical or religious exemption in order to opt out. Meanwhile, all Black, Indigenous, and other students of color are allowed to cite their racial identity or a medical or religious reason as a cause for exemption from Ivy League's school requirement. And they mentioned that according to a page in the website, some minority students may have concerns about needing to agree to requirements because of the longstanding systemic racism and health inequities in this country. And very interesting for that exemption to be given there. Is that racist? You'll have to decide that. DailyWire.com, California has some of the nation's strictest restrictions when it comes to COVID-19, yet it's one of America's epicenters for the virus, Political reported. The state has at times instituted a complete ban on restaurant dining, to travel quarantines, to close indoor gyms. Political reported this hasn't been enough, even though these measures have decimated California's economy while clearly doing little to stem the virus. America's most populous state has become one of the nation's worst epicenters for the disease, setting new records for cases, hospitalizations, and deaths almost every day. Things are so bad in Southern California that some patients are being treated in hospital tents, while doctors have begun discussing whether they need to ration care, the outlet reported. Also in California, there's a California business owner who blocked a health inspector's car after he threatens a lockdown citation, saying, if we can't work, he can't work. This is Carlos Roman, a restaurant owner in Los Angeles, refused to move his vehicle from blocking a health inspector's car after the county official threatened him with lockdown citations for allowing patrons to eat their food outside his shop. This isn't about me, said the bread and barley restaurateur, referring to his employees who can't make ends meet because of government restrictions wreaking havoc on their livelihoods. They can't pay their bills. The cook just had a baby. He's with his family right now. Soon thereafter, a police officer showed up. She told Ramon that a tow truck was on its way to move his vehicle from behind the health inspector's car. She went on to explain to the struggling business owner that it isn't the health inspector's fault that his restaurant and staff are suffering as a result of intense lockdown restrictions put in place by the governor and the Los Angeles mayor, Eric Garcetti, both of whom are Democrats. And the officer just reprimanded Roman for blocking the government agent, told him to step aside and remove his vehicle. And the restaurant owner is saying, if he can't work, if I can't work, neither can he. WND.com, an Oregon woman and her salon corporations have filed a lawsuit seeking $100,000 in damages against Governor Kate Brown and various other state officials for the governor's decision to sic social services on her and allegedly threaten to remove her children from home because she kept her business open during the pandemic lockdown. Isn't that something? To what lengths will we go where the governor is threatening to seize a woman's children in order because she kept her salon open during the lockdown? Big Brother? Interesting story on the New York Post. We got another problem now. More than 1.5 billion disposable face masks will wind up in the nation's oceans this year, polluting the water with tons of plastic and endangering marine wildlife, according to a Hong Kong-based environmental group. A report by Oceans Asia cites a global market research report that estimates 52 billion masks were made this year to meet the demand caused by the COVID panic. It also said that a conservative calculation means that at least 3% of them will be washed out to sea. You remember the riots that took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin? More than 4 months, this is Western Journal, more than 4 months after Kyle Rittenhouse was arrested over shootings in Wisconsin, which he has claimed were in self-defense, a new charge has been filed against the teen. Kyle has a new charge against him. You'll never guess what it is. His new charge against him, on top of all the other charges, he is now being charged for violating a curfew order. Can you think of all the people that are out there, and now he is being singled out here in violation of a curfew order? The writer of this column says, at this point, why don't they charge him for jaywalking while fleeing his attackers down the middle of a city street? Maybe a citation for littering would also be argued, since he never picked up his spent brass from his gun. Troubling story also that came out here today. This week, National Pulse, a host of corporate media outlets, including CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC, have participated in private dinners and sponsored trips with the China-United States Exchange Foundation, a Chinese Communist Party-funded group seeking to garner favorable coverage and disseminate positive messages regarding China, the National Pulse revealed. Other outlets that were included in this were Forbes, Financial Times, Newsweek, Bloomberg, Reuters, ABC News, The Economist, Wall Street Journal, AFP, Time Magazine, LA Times, The Hill, BBC, and The Atlantic, they report. The CUSEF is a Chinese Communist Party-funded initiative founded by Tong Chi Hua. The group also targets American universities with offers to fund policy research, high-level dialogues, and exchange programs. Tong also serves as vice chairman of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, identified as the U.S.-China Security and Economic Review Commission, as a key component of the Chinese Communist Party's United Work Front. The effort, according to the U.S. government report, aims to co-opt and neutralize sources of potential opposition to the policies and authority of its ruling Chinese Communist Party. Is that why the media has been so favorable toward communism, toward socialism? Trade Track Persia is coming out with information about a confrontation between Iran and the U.S. spiking. A barrage of some 21 rockets that struck near U.S. embassy compound in Baghdad December 20th have rattled nerves among hundreds of American diplomatic and security personnel. And now the renewed tensions add to pressures in Iraq, where anger has erupted over Mr. Trump's commuting of the sentences of the Blackwater mercenaries jailed for a massacre in Baghdad 13 years ago. There's also a roadside bomb attack on a military convoy attached to the U.S.-led coalition fighting ISIS south of Baghdad. But things are heating up in the Middle East once again. B-52s flew over the Persian Gulf as complex attacks from Iran are feared. Two American B-52s flew a nonstop 30-plus-hour round-trip mission from the U.S. to the Middle East to send a fresh warning to Iran, as a senior military official said new warnings had been detected, a sign that potential complex attacks against Americans are brewing as the one-year anniversary of the U.S. killing Iran's most powerful general looms. In a statement, the U.S. Central Command said the bombers launched from the Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota on Tuesday morning. The general there, commander, said, "We do not seek conflict, but no one should underestimate our ability to defend our forces or to act decisively in response to any attack." Incidentally, January 3rd marks the one-year anniversary of the U.S. Special Operations Forces killing the Iranian Major General Qassem Soleimani in a drone strike that was in Baghdad. Interesting indeed. Folks, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Daily Signal reporting, illegal immigrants will be able to apply for driver's privilege cards in Virginia starting January 1st, 2021, according to the state's Department of Motor Vehicles. Non-citizens will be able to apply for driver privilege cards if they're a resident of Virginia, if they have reported income from Virginia sources in the last year or were claimed as a dependent, and if their driving privilege has not been suspended or revoked in Virginia. So illegal immigrants in Virginia can now get driver privilege cards. Also, did you hear the latest with Bill Gates? His plan to dim the sun quietly is moving forward. WND.com and Western Journal reporting. While you've been paying attention to his efforts on vaccinations and lockdowns, you may have not noticed that one of Gates' most controversial causes just got a go-ahead, a project that would help block out the sun. According to Reuters, a Harvard University project plans to test out a controversial theory that global warming can be stopped by spraying particles into the atmosphere that would reflect the sun's rays. The Harvard team, whose project is known as ScopeX, that's funded by a large part by Gates, according to an August report in the UK Daily Mail, which gave the subject the wordy title, "Could Dimming the Sun Save the Earth?" Bill Gates wants to spray millions of tons of dust into the stratosphere to stop global warming, but critics fear it could trigger calamity. Interesting indeed. Well, let's go to the phone lines here today. Let's begin with Star calling in from Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Star. Hello, Star. You're on the air. Okay, let's go to Steve in Salina, Kansas. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. You reported that Republican or Representative-elect Luke Ledlow died from COVID. Well, I've got Fox News pulled up in my browser, and this is by Audrey Conklin from Fox News. I'm reading the headline right to you. It says, Representative-elect Luke Ledlow died from heart attack after procedure related to COVID, and they were going to vent him. Hmm. So the news is putting this out, and this is right from Fox News. I'm reading it right to you. So they're I've heard this put out for 2 days already. I had to call in to clarify this thing because – you know what? They're putting everybody down as coronavirus deaths. And you know what? This so-called pandemic is not the main scourge here. The main scourge is the governors, the mayors, and the healthcare officials. That's who's really locking us down. And the day when we decide to take these masks off and stop this health tyranny will be the day we have our freedoms back.
Thank you, Steve, for your comments. Andreas in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. And you know what? With all this going on in this new year, I know we're wrapping up the show with this program here, but you know, to me, all lives matter. I'm brown and I matter, you know, because especially, you know, if you're believers and you love the Lord. And then as far as the vaccine, if, you know, if we think we can take it, you know, we can take it. If not, it's up to us, you know, unless you're mandated by your work or whatever. But we can use our common sense on that. If we think we want to take it, well, then it should be up to us.
Voluntary.
Thank you for this program. It's been a great, great program for this year.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for an excellent show. And I just have a quick comment. And something I've observed, this COVID, which I don't believe is as real as they're saying it is in the first place, I find it interesting. It's not growing exponentially in states like Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia. It seems where the most radical Democratic governors are that this seems to be exploding. I find that very curious. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your call. According to Worldometers, I've just called it up here quickly while you're talking. California is the number one state with total cases of COVID. That is followed by Texas, number three, Florida, number four, New York, number five, Illinois, Ohio, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, then North Carolina. That's according to the total cases that they are reporting. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, a friend of mine in the intelligence arena sent me a report that showed that the National Center for Counterterrorism is classifying, along with the FBI, as potential extremist, potential violent extremist, worthy of being monitored, anyone that complains about their perceived threat to their Second Amendment right. Yes, my friends, we've reached the day where the one that is the potential extremist or terrorist is American men. Conservative, constitutionalist, Christian men. This has been going on for several years, back to the Obama administration and the Department of Homeland Security that wanted to label as potential terrorists people interested in the pro-life issue, national sovereignty, or even Bible prophecy. We need to be aware of the fact that we Americans are being set up by our own government as the problem, as the Marxist and Islamists take over the power centers of our nation.
News Roundup on this final day of 2020. By the way, Washington Examiner, Nashville police officers went to the home of the suicide bomber on Christmas Day, Anthony Warner. In August 2019, after his girlfriend claimed he was constructing bombs in the RV that decimated a block of the city's downtown. And very interesting indeed that follow-up was not really done on him in that regard. Shootings also up. COVID-19 ravages the U.S. Shootings, killings also up. Detroit, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, even Grand Rapids, Michigan, Milwaukee. Deadly hotspots, not only because of the pandemic, but gun violence is spiking, is reported. And also interesting, out of the state of California, Monday, the California Supreme Court ruled that thousands of inmates convicted of non-forcible sex crimes may be eligible for early release under a ballot measure that was overwhelmingly approved by voters 4 years ago. The initiative was written by then-Governor Jerry Brown, passed by nearly two-thirds of the electorate, crafted to reduce the state's prison population, saying any person found guilty of a nonviolent felony offense would be eligible for early parole. Brown said it was never intended to cover sex offenders. However, the original language did not exempt them from consideration. So now we've got the California Supreme Court ruling that thousands of inmates convicted of non-forcible sex crimes may be eligible for early release. Let's go to Berrigan, Michigan. John, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I think these people with all the intelligentsia should be drug tested. Anyways, if you and I go to a doctor and we hear something, we have a second opinion. I don't know who determined that Fauci is the be-all, end-all, cure-all to everything. And as far as Mr. Gates and the sun, we get vitamin D from the sun. Mm-hmm. And with these people wanting everybody to sit in their house and sit in their house and sit in their house and sit under a bed, it's counterproductive to what we've had for thousands of years. I'll shut up. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too, John. Aaron in Gillette, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just thinking about the fact that you mentioned the article that COVID could be potentially killed by the UV lights from the sun, too, and then Bill Gates wants to block out the rays of the sun. This is very questionable as far as the sanity of his thinking.
Hmm. Thank you for that observation. Let's go to Jared in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me on. Quickly, I just wanted to say last night I was watching TV and I saw them minted a $2 bill for President Biden and Kamala Harris, and they also had said that that he had won with over 80 million votes. So I just wanted to put that out there and let you know that that is going on, that they've actually minted a $2 bill now. So,
very interesting. I had not heard that.
Yes, I was taken by quite surprise last night when I saw that, me and my wife both. So.
Wow. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. And Emery, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. For a minute there, your station faded out on my phone. I couldn't hear you. I just have a quick follow-up comment on last week's guest, Usama Dakdak.
Okay.
I called in and complimented him and thanked him. What I forgot to mention was the concept that the entire Islam religion is unconstitutional. It's not a matter of being biased or racist against Islam or Muslims. It's the constitutional issue. We have the right to freedom of religion, and Islam dictates you must convert to Islam or be killed or at the very least taxed and become slaves. And so in my opinion, it is an entirely unconstitutional religion, should be addressed on a constitutional issue, not on a religious discrimination issue.
Yeah, it's very much a political agenda for world domination on all fronts. Thank you, Emery.
Right. But our leaders don't look at it as a constitutional problem. They say you have to be friends with Islam, with Muslims, you can't be biased, and they're trying to make arrangements with them, and they don't accept the fact that it is absolutely illegal under the Constitution. I think that our government should be focusing on that.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Holly next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I just wanted to give thanks to you for equipping all your listeners throughout 2020 and all the years you've been doing it with such awesome information. And then I had maybe a suggestion, since you do have such a well-educated audience, maybe besides just contacting our state senators and congressmen, taking it upon ourselves to start a grassroots movement, getting public information about the flu cases and all that stuff from previous years compared to this year. And we can see and show our, you know, people that trust us, hey, there isn't more people dying. There's just nobody dies from the flu or cancer or heart disease anymore. It's just they mark everybody COVID. Hmm. And then they can use the numbers to see the truth right in front of them.
Okay. Great idea, Holly. And start the research.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Roseanne is calling next in Salina, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was commenting about the Sun and the Bill Gates thing. I missed it. I missed some comments, but they've been doing that for years and saying they're not doing it with the nanoparticles and the chemical sprays that you see. They've been doing that for years. I don't know what the difference is. That's just what they always do. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, this is certainly a story that has come out with some new, this is a new aspect here, according to this Harvard University project, plans to conduct this test on this controversial theory. So that it's a program called SCOPEX, S-C-O-P-E-X. Very interesting, and it's in large part by Gates, according to UK Daily Mail. Thank you. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Boy, leave it up to California. They come up with a term like non-forcible sex crime. Well, what's that? I mean, did they sneak up on somebody and grab them or something? Either way, it's unwanted, and they call it a crime. So they kind of forced it on somebody. It's just strange. The people they want to turn loose on society, it's ridiculous. Anyway, all you Christians and conservatives out in California, make sure you move your household east of the San Andreas Fault, because I think God put it there for a reason.
Mm. Brad, thank you for, you're the final caller of 2020. Thank you so much.
Thank you much.
Brad from West Dallas, thank you for being with us. And to all of you here, folks, again, these stories just really underscore the importance of prayer for our nation and keep your eyes heavenward. Again, as we have stated before, it is not who occupies the White House. It's who occupies your heart. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, trust Him today. God bless you. Happy New Year from us here at Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.